Amen.
Lord bless you, Pastor. Amen. It's good to be back tonight. Hard to believe the week is already almost over. Hard to believe that tonight is the last night of the meeting. And I hope you've enjoyed this week as much as we have. It's been a true blessing and just a refreshment for me and my family just to get away. And we've had a good time. We appreciate all the hospitality, all the kindness. It's been so great this week. And so we certainly do appreciate that. We're going to take our Bibles tonight. We're going to open up to the book of Mark tonight. Mark chapter number 6 tonight. And we're going to begin looking in Mark chapter 6 tonight. And pick it up in verse number 30. Mark chapter number 6 tonight. And verse number 30. This week we've went through a series of messages each night, and I believe it all culminates tonight, and hope tonight will be an encouragement to your heart to have revival in your life personally and to experience it as a church. That's our desire and our prayer this week. We started out the week on Sunday morning with the message, one thing. There's one thing standing between us and the Lord's invitation. And we saw at Isaiah 55, it's our thoughts and our ways that are standing in between us and God. We saw second message was the fact that the high places are hindering our hearts from being prepared unto the Lord. The third message that we looked at, we saw, are we thankful for our Bible? And my friend, I hope that you love the Word of God tonight. Hope you have a relationship with the Word of God. The fourth message, we saw the priority of prayer in preventing shipwreck in our life. And then we saw, number five, the adversary's assault. My friend, Satan does not want you to have revival tonight. He does not want this church to have revival. And we saw as soon as Hezekiah had established the house of God once again, had established the Levite service, and had prepared the house of God, and all the order of the service of God was back in place, that's when Sennacherib came against the people of God. And so, my friend, let us be aware that the adversary, he desires to assault us. He's not playing games. But then we also saw last night, are we dwelling in wisdom's house? I hope tonight that you are dwelling in the place that's going to protect you from spiritual upheaval tonight. All right, let's take our Bible tonight. We're going to go to Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 30. Trust that you're there with me tonight. The Bible says in verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Let's pray tonight. Father, we ask for your blessing upon the message. Lord, I pray you'd remove me out of the way. Lord, might the message be able to enter the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word to accomplish great and mighty things, Lord, tonight in our hearts. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen and amen. The message that I want to bring to you tonight is what happens when we are trying to operate on empty. I don't know about you, but as a child, my mom used to put $5 of gas in the tank, and $5 back then get you a lot further than it will today. But man, today $5 wouldn't even get you back to the next gas station down the road. But I remember mama putting $5 in the tank because that's all that she had at the time. And she'd get gas the next time that she got paid or whatever. And I remember us running on E all the time. And I don't know if you've ever lived like that, but I guess maybe it's just growing up like that, sometimes I'll get in the car and I'll drive and that thing will get near the light. My wife, she'll be ready to put some gas in the tank because she doesn't want the light to even come on. But I know about where that light will go before we run out of gas, amen, because I've tested it, amen, and I've been on the E a little bit. And but my friend tonight, are we running and operating on empty? I want you to see in Mark chapter number 6 tonight, as we look here this evening, that the Lord Jesus in this chapter has gathered his apostles, his 12 disciples, two by two. He begins to send them out into the country around about where they are at, and he begins to send them out to preach and to heal the sick and reveal the message of the gospel. We see that in verse number, if you would look there in Mark 6 and verse number 7, it says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats." Here we see the Lord Jesus is beginning to send out his disciples two by two. And as he sent them out, we see that he gives them power over unclean spirits. We see at one point they come back and they're rejoicing over the fact that the devils were subject unto them. And Jesus said that we ought to be more concerned of the fact that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight, rather than us having power over the devil or over demons. But we see the Lord sent them out with power, and they cast out devils, and they healed the sick, and they healed those that were diseased. And as he sent them out, he told them not to take anything on their journey. He said to take a staff and the shoes they had on their feet. He said that they should go into the houses of those that would receive them, because the workman is worthy of his meat, is what Matthew 10 and verse 10 says. So Jesus sent them out. And so we see that they go out and they preach and they do what God had bid them to do. But then look here with me in verse number 30. The Bible says this of our text. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." Now, I imagine at this point they're pretty spent. They've been ministering, they've been serving, they've been doing all these things that we read about in the text, and we even look over there in the book of Luke. We're not going to turn there tonight, but over in Luke chapter 9, we see that about this time, or a little bit further past this passage here in Mark 6, as far as the timeline goes, we see that there's a place where they go to the Samaritans. And they're going to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus for the Samaritans to receive him. And when Jesus comes, they didn't want anything to do with him. They said he looked like he was going to Jerusalem. He must have looked like a Jew, right? And so we know that they didn't want to have anything to do with him. What did the disciples say? They said, "Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up?" And that, you know, that's kind of how it gets with us, man. We get weary in the fight, and we get weary serving God. And if we're not careful, we start running on empty, and our compassion's gone and our heart's gone. And we've got to be very careful tonight that we don't get like the disciples got. I mean, they were just ready. They looked at the Lord. They said, "You want us to call down fire from heaven like Elias did and burn them up?" And the Lord said, he rebuked them. The Bible said, he said, "I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save men's lives." And so we see that these men, these disciples, they must be weary. They must be worn. The Bible says in verse 31, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." We know they must have been worn here. I've heard it said that we need to come apart so that we don't come apart. Amen? We need to come apart so that we don't come apart. We don't fall apart. But here the Lord Jesus is calling his disciples to take a moment of rest in verse 31. And we notice here as we look, the Bible says this in verse 31. "For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." They didn't have time to sit down and grab them a bite to eat. This is the ministry that's been taking place in their lives. This is the service that we see. The Bible says they didn't even have time to sit down for a meal. I don't know about you, but I try to make time for a meal, praise God. But they didn't even have time to sit down and eat. But the Bible says in verse 32, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." Jesus is trying to get his disciples alone. The Bible says in verse 33, "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them and came together unto him." Here we see in verse number 32 and verse 33 that Jesus tries to get his disciples away to have a moment of rest, to be able to refuel and to recoup. And the Bible says that the people saw them and they outran the ship and met them on the other side. There's no time for a break. There's no time for a moment of rest, and there's no time to refuel here. I want you to see as we look tonight, when we begin to operate on empty, what's going to happen? The Bible begins to show us here tonight in verse number 34. If we're not careful, number one tonight, we'll lose our vision for souls. My friend, when we start operating on empty, we'll begin to lose our vision for souls tonight. He says there in verse 34, when they got off the boat, he says in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. Who do we see here in the text did the seeing here? It's the Lord Jesus that saw. Doesn't say the disciples are concerned with the multitudes that have outran them and come to be ministered unto by Jesus. Here he says in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people. My friend, tonight the Bible says in Colossians 4 and verse 5 that we need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. But if we get to operating on empty, if we're not careful, my friend, we'll begin to lose sight of the people that we're passing and the people that we're around, that those people need Jesus Christ. And the people that we're around that are born again, they need our encouragement from the Lord. My friend, if we're not careful, we do not see people as Jesus sees them. Jesus, it says here in verse 34, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In verse 34, it said, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. My friend, we get to run it on empty. If we're not careful, number one, tonight we'll lose our vision for souls. We'll begin to pass people that need to hear the gospel. We'll begin to get so caught up in our circumstances that we'll fail to see those around us. But then I also want you to see this in verse 34. Number two, when we start to run it on empty, number two, we begin to lack compassion for people's needs. Notice here in verse 34, the Bible says this, when Jesus saw the people, then he was what? He was moved with compassion. I don't want to get to the place in my Christian life where I don't have compassion in my heart when I walk and knock on somebody's door and begin to share the gospel. I don't want it to be just another Tuesday encounter with somebody. I want it to be a personal encounter, a divine encounter when I meet somebody and begin to share the gospel with them. Jesus had compassion toward them in verse number 34. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Don't we have a great high priest tonight? Man, Jesus is a wonderful high priest tonight. He can have compassion on us because he don't have to be worried about his own infirmities and his own circumstances tonight. But I'll be honest with you, there's times where I just don't have the compassion that I need to have for the people in our church. And there's times where I don't have compassion I need to have for my wife and for my children. And Lord, help me not to be running on empty all the time, but to be able to fill that tank up with the Word of God and begin to have that compassion restored. My friend, we see that we begin to lose our vision for souls. We begin to lack compassion for people's needs. But then number three, I begin to see this in the Word of God. We begin to doubt God's provision. My friend, we get to run it on empty. We start doubting the Lord. And here we see the disciples. They haven't had a moment of rest. They haven't had time to refuel and recoup. But we notice here in verse 35, the Bible says this. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. The disciples, they're on empty, aren't they? And they want to just send them away. Lord, we don't have the ability, Lord, to feed them. We don't have the resources to feed them, Lord. I don't have what it takes to feed these people, Lord. We need to send them away. They begin to doubt God's provision here in verse number 35 and verse 36. My friend, we got to be careful that we're not running on empty so that we're doubting God's provision. Isn't it amazing how God provides? Yes. It's so beautiful to watch the Lord provide for our lives, to see God's hand and to see God working. When we look at the circumstance and we think, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's always a wonderful thing when God comes through and God provides. We see that we begin to doubt God's provision. These disciples are on empty and they're doubting the Lord's ability to provide the necessary need here in verse number 36. I sure like this. The Bible says in verse 37, as we begin to come to the next thought, he says in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. How about that? The disciples just said, Lord, we don't got anything. Lord, we don't have anything to offer them. Lord, send them away. And the Lord says, give ye them to eat. My friend tonight, I'm glad that he's got what we need. I'm glad that Jesus has what we need. But as we look in verse 37, not only do we see that these men began to lose their vision for souls, they began to lack compassion for people's needs, but we also see they began to doubt God's provision. And here in verse 37, we see they began to question Christ's commands. Oh Lord, help me not to get to the place where I'm questioning the Word of God. Lord, does that really work in these days? Lord, will it really work to do the old time way and follow the Word of God and be obedient to the Scriptures? Is that still the right way, Lord? Because it just don't look like things are working like they used to work. Should we change and shift our ways, Lord? Or should we just keep following you? My friend, we begin to question Christ's commands. Look there in verse 37. He says, and he answered and said to them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Question mark. They're questioning Christ's command. Watch here in verse 38, the Bible says, and he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, five and two fishes. I sure am thankful for that little lad, aren't you? He's not mentioned here in Mark chapter number 6, but I sure am glad for that lad in John chapter 6. Amen. Where that little lad offers his lunch. All he had was two fish and five loaves, but he offered what he had. And my friend, guess what? He got everything back that he wanted and more because he offered what little bit he had to the Lord. But we see here in verse number 38, the Bible says that Jesus asked them how many loaves and fishes they have. And he said in verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Don't you love the Word of God there? It tells you how the grass looked at that time. Now, I love the descriptiveness of the Word of God. He said in verse 40, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken five loaves and two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set them before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. My friend, God just wants us to have faith tonight. He just wants us to be obedient. He doesn't expect us to have the results. He just wants us to trust Him, to be faithful, to trust Him. And my friend, if we're not careful, when we get to running on empty, we begin to doubt and question what the Lord's told us, and we begin to wonder, is God really going to be able to come through? But my friend, I want to encourage you tonight, just keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord tonight. We see that we began to question Christ's commands. But then I want you to notice this next thought here. Look there with me in verse number 45. The Bible says in verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. I want us to see tonight, number 5, if we're not careful, if we're operating on empty, we're going to miss the miracles of God. We're going to begin to miss the miracles of God. Now here as we look in verse number 45, Jesus sends them on to the other side. And I sure am glad that Jesus knows the storms ahead of us already. He's already seen the course ahead. He already knows what's coming. And he's not afraid to send us into the storm because he knows the outcome of the storm. But here the Lord sends his disciples to the other side. I sure am glad he said that we're going to the other side. Praise God. Amen. If he said we're going to the other side, he didn't say how it's going to be, but he said we're going to get to the other side. He said in verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now as I begin to look here in verse number 46, verse 46 down to about verse 50, I want you to notice with me as we think about this thought, they missed the miracles of God. We see it's because they failed to realize that he's in control of the storm. I want you to know in verse number 48, the Bible says that he sees them rowing from the mountain. The Bible says he went up into a mountain to pray, and he's looking down from the mountain, and he sees his disciples in the midst of the sea rowing. I want to say, now I'm glad that he sees me where I'm at tonight. Praise God, in the midst of my storm, he's above the storm and he sees where I'm at, praise God, in that storm. We see that they failed to realize that he saw them while he was on that mountain watching over them in verse number 48. But not only did he see them, in verse 46, we see that he's interceding for them. In verse 46, it said this, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. What's Jesus doing while they're in the storm? Man, he's praying, praise God. He's interceding to the Father, praise God, in verse 46. We see that he is on the mountain praying, and he's on the mountain watching over them. But then we also see that they missed the miracle of God because they were unable to discern the presence of the Lord in the storm. We get on empty, my friend, and we're trying to operate on empty. We can't discern the presence of the Lord. We can't discern the good fellowship of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 49, when he came walking up to them on the sea, they supposed it had been what? A spirit, and cried out. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Man, I can't even imagine. I'll be honest with you, I don't like to get in no boat with no storms going on. Amen? If I'm in a boat and I see a cloud coming up, I'm getting out of there. I'm getting back on land, praise God. The Bible talks about there in the book of Psalm 107 how the ships, man, the waves mount up to the sky and then they go down to the depths, and those men are crying out for God to help them at their wit's end, my friend. But we see that Jesus comes to them in the midst of their storm. My friend, they miss the fact that he's in control of the storm because they're running on empty. Jesus is on that mountain praying, interceding for them. Jesus is on that mountain watching them as they toiled in rowing on that sea. Jesus comes unto them in the fourth watch of the night. I'm glad that Jesus knows when we need him, and he comes when we need him tonight. But then we see tonight, we also look down in verse number 50. The Bible says this, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves. Watch this. Beyond measure. And they wondered. Now that catches my eye. Look there in verse number 52. He says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. My friend, we get operating on empty. You know what? We don't even see what God's doing. Can you imagine that? They're out there distributing those five loaves, and they haven't even thought about the fact that God, man, he done passed out those five loaves many times ago. And those two fish surely should be gone. But they're so cumbered by the fact of their service that they're just going through the motions, and they're not even paying attention to what God is doing right before their very eyes as Jesus is breaking that bread and passing those fishes. They're not even focused on what's taking place before their very eyes. And the Bible says in verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Watch why. For their heart was hardened. They're running on empty. They're operating on empty tonight. If we're not careful, my friend, we begin to operate on empty, we're going to miss the miracles of God. Man, Jesus had just provided for thousands, and they didn't even recognize what he had done. Jesus walks to them on the sea, and instead of expecting it, they're amazed by it. My friend, Lord, help us tonight to be able to get to the place where we recognize, hey, God's going to see us through this storm. God's going to be faithful to us. We talked about that experience last night, how that experience breeds what? Hope. I sure am glad tonight that when we experience God's faithfulness, that we know that there's hope tonight. As we look here tonight, we see that these disciples are running on empty. I want you to see one thing that I believe we can take notice and learn from the Lord here in the passage when we get to running on empty. Look there in verse number 46. The Bible says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." You know what Jesus did? He was weary just like the rest of them. He said, "I've got to get alone with the Father. I've got to get alone with the Father." My friend tonight, when you start to see that you're losing your vision for souls, it's time for you to get alone with God. When you start getting a little rough with your wife or your husband tonight, it's time to get alone with God. We need that compassion back. We're trying to run on empty. We begin to doubt God's provision in our life. We've seen God work, but my friend, for some reason, we're running on empty, and now we just don't think God's going to do it this time. We're questioning Christ's commands. Is that really the way we got to walk? Man, this is 2023. We still going to walk like that? We still going to talk like that? We still going to behave like that? We begin to question the Word of God. My friend, if we're not careful, we'll start missing God's miracles. Man, the Lord Jesus wants to save sinners. And that's a miracle in heaven when a soul is born again. Ain't no greater thing than seeing a person saved and born again. My friend, we get to run on empty. We need to get alone with God. Spend some time with Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Father, we thank You for the message this evening.